The Book of Chronicles feels like a rerun of stories that we've already been told. How does it help us understand where the story of the Bible leads? Hey, this is Cherie at Bible Project. In this episode, we're closing our reflections on the Old Testament. That's right. If you've been following us since episode one, you've reflected on portions of every genre from the entire Hebrew Bible. Today, we're looking back on past biblical stories through the eyes of the chronicler. This perspective helps us look forward to the future with new anticipation. Listen in.
Hi, this is Carissa at Bible Project, and today we're reflecting on the Book of Chronicles. In English Bibles, the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles follow Samuel and Kings, but in the ancient Hebrew ordering of the scriptures, Chronicles is the final book of the Old Testament. As the conclusion of the Hebrew scriptures, it has a significant message, and one that you might not expect. When you read Chronicles, you might be thinking, wait, this is just recounting the events of Samuel and Kings. Why is this material here again? This is exactly what makes this book so interesting. Because the author retells events recorded in Samuel and Kings, we can compare these books to Chronicles to see the differences, what is not there and what is added. And this helps us to understand the unique message of Chronicles. Even though it might sound like a straightforward historical book, Chronicles is prophetic. It's pointing forward to God's glorious kingdom and his Messiah King. It's helpful to remember that whenever a person or author tells of an event, they're selective. They choose what to include or not include based on what they think is important for the message they're communicating. So, what's important to the author of Chronicles? How does it differ from Samuel and Kings? Chronicles was written after some of the exiles returned to the land with Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah by the decree of the Persian king Cyrus the Great. The book points to a glorious future for God's people, but it does so by talking about the past. So Chronicles recounts Israel's history, which we know from reading the rest of the Bible is super messy, but Chronicles portrays most things in a positive light and includes details that are meant to encourage the returned exiles to wait faithfully for God to fulfill his promises, to dwell among them as the center of their worship, and to bring about his Messiah King. The book opens with a genealogy, and what's the point? Well, the genealogy begins with Adam and continues past the time of the exiles. This highlights God's faithfulness to his people to preserve them, even through captivity. It's also clear that God preserves the Davidic or kingly line and the line of priests, which is meant to encourage the people that he is and will be faithful to his promises. The way the chronicler portrays the kings throughout the book is almost completely in a positive light. The book portrays the kings as obedient to God and that this results in blessing. For example, in Chronicles, when the kingship is transferred from Saul to David, it's complete and immediate, and the whole nation rallies behind him. In Samuel through Kings, there's a lot of hardship and trouble between Saul and David. The same pattern is true of the transfer of kingship from David to Solomon. The promise God makes with David in 2 Samuel 7 is recounted in Chronicles in a really interesting way. In 2 Samuel 7, we find a statement about how when David's son commits iniquity, he'll be punished, but God will continue to extend love to him. In Chronicles, this is completely left out to highlight that this king will worship God more perfectly. In Chronicles, Solomon, whose wealth and women led to his demise in Samuel, is portrayed as obedient and his wealth as glory. Hezekiah and his right worship is given more space in the Book of Chronicles. Even after the kingdom splits, the kingship continues to be portrayed in mostly a positive light. For example, Jeroboam is completely left out. Now, Chronicles and the rest of the Bible contain lots of description about the oppressive evil of these kings, so this isn't meant to persuade people that the past was all great and to just look forward. The audience knows this oppression and injustice personally. So the effect of being selective isn't about forgetting. It's about painting a portrait of faithfulness and obedience on the part of the king and the people to show that when this happens, things go well. But these kings have already come and gone, so what's the point? The point is that there will be a future king who will lead the people in faithfulness and obedience to God, and that this will result in blessing. He's not David, he's not Solomon, or any that have come after him, but he will be like them in their best ways. The way in which the chronicler tells of the temple is significant in showing that the temple is central to obedience, and that obedience is central to success. Remember, the temple isn't just a building, it's a realization of God being at the center of worship in the hearts of his people. The chronicler shows the glory of the temple and that it was exactly as it was meant to be. We know from the books of Ezra and Nehemiah that the temple they rebuilt couldn't compare with Solomon's temple, and that the glory of God didn't fill the temple. Chronicles retells the events of the building of Solomon's temple and God's glory filling it in positive and hyperbolic ways. Solomon builds it in exact obedience. God's glory fills it so much that not even the priests can enter, and very little space is given to the destruction of the temple. The resulting message is a call to God's people to put him at the center of their lives and a promise that someday he will dwell among them as their God. Even with all this positivity, the book still ends recounting the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon. But there's more to the end of the book than just a fall. There's a little faithful message of hope, which comes in the form of a decree by Cyrus. He says, "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up, and may the Lord their God be with them." This decree is the same one told in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, but Ezra and Nehemiah have already gone up with the people, and they've already built the temple. The kings have already come and gone. The fact that the whole Hebrew Bible ends on this note implies that there's another return from exile to come, another rebuilding of the temple, and a different leader, a Messiah who will lead the people back to communion with God. The decree, when compared with Ezra and Nehemiah, actually ends in its middle. The effect is that it leaves the reader on the edge of their seat, waiting for this one to come. And this is how the whole Hebrew Bible ends, waiting. The next book that follows is from hundreds of years later. It's the Gospel of Matthew. It continues the story like this. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In other words, he is the anointed king from the line of David who will lead the people in true worship of Yahweh.
Second Chronicles 36, 22 and 23. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says: "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of this earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up, and may the Lord their God be with them." 2 Chronicles 36, 22 and 23.
Now let's review. First, let's remember that in English Bibles, the books of 1 and 2 Chronicles follow Samuel and Kings. But in the ancient Hebrew ordering of the scriptures, Chronicles is the final book of the Old Testament. So why does this matter again? Well, the book of Chronicles ends with a decree to build a temple. This is the same decree that is mentioned in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. But Ezra and Nehemiah have already built the temple. So the fact that the whole Hebrew Bible ends like this tells us that there must be another return from exile, another temple that will be built up, and a better leader to come, a Messiah who will lead the people back to communion with God. The Hebrew Bible ends in anticipation for all that's to come. Let's reflect more on this. I have three questions for you to consider today. Listen closely and feel free to pause if you want more time. Okay, here's our first reflection. Now remember, the temple is the place where God and humanity, heaven and earth, all come together in unity. So together, let's reflect on how Jesus, the Messiah, leads people into this place of unity. What comes to mind? And now our second reflection. What kind of exile do people return from in order to experience unity with God today? And now our final reflection. How have you experienced unity with God and others? And how are you still waiting with anticipation? Thanks for joining us for today's reflection. If you'd like to reflect more, check out our video on 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We also have interesting questions that you can use for personal study or group discussion. You can find it at bibleproject.com/study. Now, before we go, let's pray together. Jesus, you are the temple, the place where heaven and earth overlap. Thank you for giving your life to make a way for us to come out of exile to live in you. As we walk with you, thank you for helping us look back to remember your faithful promises. It helps us to keep moving forward to the day when you unite all things and every promise is made complete. While we wait for that day, we thank you for providing a new beginning with you as we journey towards it. Amen. Today's message was by Dr. Carissa Quinn. Our show production was by Cooper Peltz, Dan Gummel, and Zach McKinley. Our scripture reading was by Dan Gummel. Our theme music by Grant William Harold. And I'm Sheree Hayes, your host. Reflections is more than a podcast. It's a community of friends like Graham.
Hi, this is Graham from Sydney Down Under. Listening to Reflections has been a fantastic tool for my better understanding and appreciation of God's Word in the Bible, and particularly listening to Tim and Carissa and the team. So thank you very much. Great work.
Thanks, Graham. So glad you're a part of the Reflections community. Bible Project is a nonprofit that's funded by the generosity of people like you from all over the world. Your support allows us to give away free animated videos, blogs, podcasts, Bible studies, and more. Thank you.